Hi everyone, I'm Liam, and welcome to another episode of Exploring the NQS, a bonus series from the Early Education Show, exclusively for our Patreon supporters. So if you're listening to this, that means you're supporting the main show, which means I want to start with a big thank you. The main show will always be free, but those of you who choose to actually support us financially really, really help us out. In Exploring the NQS, I take a look at one element of the National Quality Standard, one at a time, until we've ended up covering all 40. My background is as an early childhood educator and teacher and a centre director, and I currently oversee professional learning and development for Northside Community Service, a not-for-profit early education provider based right here in Canberra. All right, let's get started. This week, we're looking at element 4.1.2, Continuity of Staff. It's part of Quality Area 4, Staffing Arrangements, and it's the second and final element of Standard 4.1, Staffing Arrangements. The description for this element is, every effort is made for children to experience continuity of educators at the service. All right, so let's spend a bit of time thinking what this one is all about. So again, the description for this one's pretty clear. Every effort is made for children to experience continuity of educators at the service. And this is really just about the research that is pretty clear that consistent, stable, and professional educators deliver the best outcomes for children. There's been a lot of research in this area, both prior to the development of the National Quality Framework, so when it's sort of being developed in the second half of the 2000s and launched in 2012, but we've actually seen a lot of similar research since then as well, even some here in Australia. So it is really clear that the gains that children have aren't just around, you know, being in a centre or just about receiving early education. It's actually the educators are some of the most important parts of that puzzle. And then particularly the consistent, stable teams are really, really important. And we know that's a big problem because we know that recruitment and retention is quite difficult. And I'm going to talk a bit about that in practice, but you know, this is the reason this element is here is saying that we know this is important for children, so we really need to work on trying to do as best we can for continuity at a really basic level, kind of trying to really summarize some quite interesting and amazing research, which I'd recommend people go out and look for. It's kind of saying that, you know, it's kind of stuff we actually know is pretty obvious, that the more we know children, the better children are known, the better their learning can be supported. And it's hard to know children, it takes a while to get to know children. So if you're moving to a new service, you have to invest that time in getting to know children. From the child's perspective, if educators are chopping and changing, you know, they have to work on building those relationships with the adults as well. So we know that, you know, that the more we know about children, the better we get to know them, learn their communication methods, learn their cues, how they engage in critical rituals, means that we can then be assessing their learning and planning for their learning and reflecting on their learning so much better. There's also an element here about building trust and that relationship with their families as well. Obviously, the families aren't there all day. Obviously, the children are, but getting to know those families and having the space where families feel they can raise issues around their child and how their child is learning at home and how they feel things are going in the centre means a better outcome for the child. So this is really about the research acknowledging that it's important that we do all we can to ensure there's that continuity of stable, professional, engaged and consistent staff. All right, let's have a think about this one in practice. This is a really interesting one to think about in practice. The element's pretty straightforward and simple, and looking probably won't be another episode that's too long, but this is one that really clashes, I think, with some of the operational issues facing the sector. We know that recruitment is so, so difficult. We know that there aren't enough qualified educators out there, particularly early childhood teachers, but also at the diploma level. It's a huge issue for Australia. So this element in itself is really difficult. Even services who are, you know, doing incredible work and are really working on that quality improvement. You know, I work with services who are rated excellent. I know services who are rated excellent that still struggle with this. It's an issue, and this is something it's probably better to listen to the main show, the Early Education Show, because we talk a lot about the policy and the politics of advocacy and how the experience of educators in Australia is as a really marginalised workforce, and that the work of educators isn't valued and they certainly aren't paid enough. A discussion for a different time, but that means there are real challenges with this. But I really want to try and keep these episodes positive as possible. So we do know that there's no such thing as 100% continuity of staff. There will always be movement. There will always be people coming in and out. So that means what we need to think about is our process and our system for recruiting. How do we bring people into the centre? What do we go through to do that? There are some other elements that really touch on this bit as well, but I want to spend a bit of time thinking about it here because it really is about this is about who we're bringing into the center and will they fit in with the team and will they really be working on, you know, hope, I mean, the idea is we want to bring in someone who is committed to early education, committed to the service and the philosophy you have so that they'll stay and they can build that continuity, which is really important. So the first thing I think about is recruitment is something, is it done at the service level or is it done at the organization level? So if you're part of an organization or a small or a large one, are you kind of just given these people? That would be one extreme where you have nothing to do with recruitment, you have nothing to do with interviews, you have nothing to do with, you know, the sorting of applicants that comes through, and you literally, you know, maybe get an email saying, you know, this person's starting at your center on, you know, next Monday, so can you make sure you welcome them and do that kind of thing? You know, that to me is not so great. It's really important that at least the director, but, you know, probably the key people in the center know who's coming into the center. They're involved in the recruitment. My view is they should be involved, you know, right from the start. They should be helping write the ad that's going out. If you're bringing in someone into your service, you want to make sure that you're presenting the service in a particular way when that's being recruited. You don't want to be overloading people with admin, but being involved in the recruitment is really important. And it is about that, what message is being sent out about the work you do. You know, at a basic level, I would be insisting that the early education is referred to professionally and positively. I wouldn't like what I do to be referred to as childcare, or asking that, you know, a childcare worker is coming in to work with us. Now, we want early childhood educators who are professional and engaged and who are in the sector for the right reasons. So the recruitment is really the first point, the first starting point of ensuring continuity of staff, because if you get the right people into the door, you know, short of personal issues or people moving or whatever, they're more likely to stay because they fit in with your values, they fit in with your philosophy, and they fit in with your approach to quality improvement. So that's a really important part, that recruitment piece, making sure that, you know, people in the service are involved and it's not something that's done, you know, in an office, in a HR office somewhere, for someone who's not an educator, not a teacher, and doesn't understand the day-to-day sort of dynamics of a service. The next sort of part of that equation then is retention, and that's the really hard part. So retention is keeping people. You know, you want people working with you for a long time, and people who can really build those relationships with children. There's no simple answer to this, obviously. You know, if there were, you know, someone would be making probably quite a bit of money out of it, and we would probably have less issues in the sector than we have. I think one of the important things to think about here in relation to this element is you're not being judged on, you know, whether people have stayed or not. There will always be reasons people move on, some positive, some negative. You may also want to move people on if they're not performing. We actually need to get people who are not performing and cannot improve out of the service, because that's bad for children if we have people who are not doing their job effectively. So this element, the way to meet this element is have, you know, your team exactly the same as December as it was in January. That's not what it's about. It's about what processes do you have to support continuity as best as possible. Assessors and raters know that this is a challenge. They know it's difficult. So again, no simple solution, but you just want to think about what strategies are in place to keep people. One of the big things I think about here, because you know, wage rates are challenging, and you know, the new centre that's opened down the road will, you know, sometimes there's that the grass is greener on the other side perspective. You may have people, you know, going off who are just, you know, approaching burnout, who are just, you know, needing to try a new challenge, or maybe take on a role you don't have available. Maybe they want a team leader role, an assistant director role, and they may try that, you know, centre down the road. In my view, separate to those operational, those wage issues, all those kind of things, what keeps people in centres, in my view, is a sense of engagement with the centre, is a sense of professional identity, is a sense that they're committed to the service vision. Not just that they're committed to children. I do hear this a lot, is that people who say, no, I'm just here for the children. And actually, I don't like that necessarily is the only reason people be there. If you're at a centre, I think you should agree with that centre's philosophy, those values. You may not agree with every single thing that happens, and of course, there'll be disagreements about particular directions and particular leadership, but if you agree that people are standing for the right things in this service and you feel you're a part of that and you're given an opportunity to contribute, you're given an opportunity to be part of that quality improvement and self-assessment and all those kind of things, you know, that to me is actually what kind of leads to a better retention than if we didn't have that. Is really, you know, from recruitment throughout people's lives and their employment in your service, is really connecting them to why they're there and why this service is, you know, it has particular values around the way they do it. And then the other thing is when we think about recruitment and retention, then it's really just kind of around staffing planning. And again, this will be different for every single service, but you want to think about your rosters and particularly things like, you know, casual educators. Can we have a consistent pool of casual educators who come in and out? Consistency doesn't have to mean people doing, you know, the 7:30 to 4:30 shift every day or the 9:30 to 6 o'clock shift every day. Casuals coming in and out at different times of the day can still reflect consistency because they're the same people, they're familiar to people in the classrooms. Often, interestingly, casuals can often have some of the best relationships with children because they're in different classrooms at different points of the day. So they actually have better relationships over the whole centre than sometimes people who have been in the one room for quite a long period of time. We want to think about support staff as well. We probably maybe used to use that word. Floater, you know, the person who would go maybe going in different classrooms and covering breaks. I think support staff is a better word for that, or support educators. You know, how are we making sure that those people as best as possible are consistent? People have to come off and have breaks. That has to happen. So are we as best as possible having consistent people coming in and covering those things? The other thing I think about as well is the big roster changes. You know, maybe you do them twice a year or once a year. Really thinking about that from a continuity for children perspective, one of the great things I see in practices services is that leaders and centre directors really encourage particular staff to move with children. So as nursery children move into the toddler room the next year, they know at least one or two staff from that room move with that child. It's great for educators, so they're not sort of stuck in the same room all day, every day, year on year, because that is one of the things that really leads to burnout and lack of retention. But it means that children have familiar people going through with them, and the families have those familiar people they can talk with and engage with. So thinking about it from that planning perspective is really important. What can we do? There are always going to be challenges. There are always going to be difficulties. But what if we look at it through a continuity lens, we'll find there are some particular things we can do that really help us out. All right, let's have a look at a couple of suggestions for nominated supervisors. Again, really straightforward. I kind of mentioned this in practice, but if you're a nominated supervisor, if you're in charge of what's happening in your service, I really recommend be involved at all stages of recruitment. At least look over the ad that's going out. You don't necessarily have to write it yourself, and there are people maybe with those skill sets in your organization or your service or your committee or whoever's doing that. Make sure you look at it, though. Make sure you're involved in the sorting. If there are people applying, make sure you know who's applying and who's sort of going, look, let's interview these people, this person's not suitable, being involved in that process. And then obviously the interview is such an important part. One of the things we often forget about interviews is it's not just about interviewing to find out about the applicant. It's actually an opportunity to talk about your service and how you approach particular things. One of the outcomes of an interview really should be is that person may walk away going, do you know what, that service isn't for me. I don't agree with their values or their standards are too high. That's, you know, a really great thing. If someone's walking away going, you know, I just think the expectations are too high, that service may want to work somewhere easier, that's great. Better to find that out in the interview than later on. So being involved in all stages of the recruitment, even if it's difficult and challenging, and having been a centre director myself, I know that can be draining, but it saves so much time down the track if you're involved in that process early. And the other kind of thing here is just kind of, I actually talked a little bit about this last week in element 4.1.1, which is take charge of staffing decisions and think about them in the best interest of continuity for children. You don't want to negotiate or sort of be too democratic about staffing decisions when it relates to children. Really think what best suits your community, what's best for continuity for children, what best will support children's learning, and then make those decisions and stick by them and explain to people why you're doing it. But, you know, don't put things up for a vote or let people, you know, have three choices about where they want to be. You know your community, you know your team, you know the children you're working with. You know, do the staffing that suits you and don't let anyone tell you it can't be done. All right, a couple of ideas for the quality improvement plan this week. One, recruitment processes are regularly reviewed to ensure a focus on ensuring professional committed educators join the team. So this just really, you could demonstrate through that self-assessment that you're looking at those recruitment processes. It's a great way as well to get organizations involved. So if you're reporting to an area manager or a committee or you know, whatever kind of organizational structure you're in, putting this in your quality improvement plan, kind of that they have to do that as well, then you can kind of go, look, this is something I really want to work on. I need you to help me through this quality improvement plan. So that's a great way of sort of engaging, managing up, we might call that as well. And then the second and final sort of part of the quality improvement plan that I would put in is that staff rosters are planned with the goal of ensuring the best possible continuity for children. So really trying to move away a bit from that idea of that staffing is kind of just about educators and who works well together and who will be happy, you know, being where they are. And the one educator goes, you know, I won't work with, you know, toddlers or whatever. We actually need to reshift that and say, you know, staffing and rosters and it's actually about children and the elements in quality area four. And then five, when we get into quality area five in a few weeks, are really about making sure we shift that focus. It has to be about children. All right, that's it for another week. That's the end of standard 4.1. So we'll be starting a new standard 4.2 next week. Quality area 4 is quite short, so we'll be barreling through this one pretty quickly. Thanks again for everyone who's enjoying the podcast, particularly this extra one. Please keep listening to the Early Education Show. I might take another call out here again as well. If you're enjoying these bonus episodes, please share them with someone you know. You know, this one obviously doesn't get quite as many listeners as our main show, but I really enjoy doing these, and I think that, you know, that it's kind of a great way to explore the NQS in an easy kind of easy to access way, you know, once a week. So it'd be great to have more listeners and have more people joining us on this journey. But until we're back with you for another element of the National Quality Standard next week, it's goodbye from me.